B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Well, it's 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic. 4 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Landis Blocks, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online, landisbc.com. Tim McManus joins us at 4:10, South Powell in the 5 o'clock hour as we continue to talk some Eagle issues after the news of Brandon Brooks, the right guard, out for the season, tore the other Achilles tendon. You know, when you looked at that first Achilles tendon, we talked about the possibility of when you tear one, you get it repaired, there's an increased chance that you'll tear the other one.
He ended up playing the whole year, came back in 9 months, like record time plays all year till the shoulder, lost weight, was doing kickboxing this offseason, and it went.
Yeah.
And it stinks.
The Achilles tendons, that's a weird, weird thing.
Now, he's come back before. For the future, he's still young enough to where he could probably come back again, but that doesn't help you this year.
No, it doesn't. So we'll talk to Tim McManus about what the Eagles will do from this point on. Let's go Art in South Jersey. Art, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Art.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Art?
I want to speak to you about the hidden agenda. I don't think it's a hidden agenda.
The hidden resentment between the head coach and the quarterback?
I don't think it's hidden. I think it's right there in front of our faces, all in front of our faces. I mean, why would you even consider drafting a high draft pick at Jalen Hurts and not think that or even think that you could promote confidence in a person? That's not going to happen.
Well, that's right? What I thought as soon as that draft happened. There were a lot of people who disagreed with that, but I think that was an indication of something.
Oh, yeah, but how far does it go up? And we say Peterson, but, you know, Howie has something to do with this also.
There's any question about it. I think they're all in cahoots.
They're all
joined in that opinion, man. They've said, well, listen, we've got to figure out a way here. We don't trust the guy anymore.
I haven't trusted him for years, though. I mean, I think he's a superb athlete. I think he does great things on the field when he's breaking containment. But I don't see him as a strong throwing quarterback yet. I mean, there's possibility he still can be. Yeah, I think he can be, but as of now, I don't see it. He has problem with touch passes. He has problem with he just have a problem throwing the ball down the field. To me, completely.
Yeah, I wouldn't do all that. I wouldn't say all that. But you're clearly not a Wentz guy. There are some things he still has to accomplish. But it seems to me that, here's my biggest fear. They don't know what they're doing. Like, they invested all this thought and time and evaluation that this guy was the guy. And then what? They turn around a couple years later and he's not the guy? Either you're in or you're, you know, when you win it, you win it, as Slim Charles would say.
Right. I mean, you forgot one thing, money. They put a lot of invested money into this guy. So why do that?
And that's another reason. It's like then all of a sudden, like what happened like several months ago? We don't trust him anymore. You know, we got to do this. But see, I don't know how that helps the kid. Like if
they're...
You know, they may think, okay, he's fragile. We got to back ourselves up. That doesn't help the kid. The kid doesn't want to know that you guys who are running the organization think he's fragile.
That's true.
You got to be behind the dude.
Well, how far are they going to stick their neck out if he breaks another rib or something like that? You know, that's another thing. I think they think about that. I really think they think about.
Well, how do you think? How do you think about that after last year, though? Like last year, he wasn't injured. He got kicked in the head.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, so he proved that he lasted the whole season. So why the evaluation now that he's too fragile? We got to go in another direction.
I don't know. You made a comment earlier about the friction and him changing plays at the line. How much do you think is that into that?
I mean, it probably weighs. There's something about this head coach that doesn't have 100% trust in this guy. Whether it's a hidden resentment that he came into this league anointed, whether it's he found working with another backup a little more malleable for his coaching style, whether it's he doesn't think this guy can be Lamar Jackson. There's like a million things you could throw into it. But to me, it's like the tea leaves are already out there. All you got to do is read them on what they think about Wentz. And they don't think 100%. This is a quarterback for now. But they don't feel like 100% committed. You know, it's like living with a woman. You really kind of don't want to marry her because you're not that, you know, that's the bigger step. Let's see how that goes with the living thing. I'm just saying, you know.
But in this case, they're living with one and then dating another one at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you got her, so you're dating him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or you got the eye out at the beach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got the beach eye.
You're still wandering. The wandering eye.
You ever see guys that are walking with their wives and they'll give it that side eye when somebody walks by on the beach?
Yeah. Yes, Mike, I've experienced that.
You have experienced that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the side eye dude.
Yeah.
Dougie P, he's the side eye.
Yeah. Looking down from the sunglasses.
Yeah. I sit there behind the paper. My last chair room, I said, when I go down there, I sit there in a later afternoon.
Just people watch.
And I just watch that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's human nature. I don't know. But it's funny.
Yeah. And the wife insists on holding the hand. Too.
All that. I just sometimes think, could you be more obvious?
What's annoying? The hand holding?
The hand holding in crowded areas is annoying. It stinks.
On the beach?
On the beach, if it's empty, fine. If it's a crowded beach and we have to do any kind of swerving, holding hands is for straight line walking. If you just start pivoting, let's not efficient.
Wait a minute. Suppose you get closer to the surf where it's clearer path.
You can hold hands.
That's a hold hand area?
Fine. But if we got to do a lot of swerving or any swerving, let's not. Let's stand next to each other, talk. We're clearly together. And then we can separate and come back together or go left, right. But this holding hands and then having to swerve.
Let me ask you this. I'll break down the age groups.
All right.
Hand holding couples in their 20s. That's 20s.
I see that.
It's fine.
Intrusive or not? What? You okay with that? 20s.
Yeah, no, they're like young and in love.
I don't think it's wise, but I'm not okay with it.
All right. In the 30s, only married a few years. Hand-holding in
the 30s. Yeah. Good
you
with
all
it.
Right with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Is that the most solid category for you?
No, not the most solid.
What, 20s is?
No.
Well, 20s is immaturity. It's
come on, you're just holding hands because you know what you're trying to do.
Exactly.
You're not slick.
Right. All right. So the 30s, semi-genuine, only been married for a couple of years. Hand-holding is a sign of that kind of affection of 2-year, 3-year marriage.
Yeah. I believe the most solid is the older couple that has been through things for real.
Yeah.
The tried and true. Then I'm all on board.
The couple in the 50s?
Yeah.
The hand-holding?
Mm-hmm. Because then I'm like, you guys are still holding hands.
Yeah.
You guys
after
clearly,
all that time.
After 30 years together.
But that guy is a side-eyer.
Yeah, but that's all right because he has been loyal enough to last those 30 years.
Yeah.
She can give him a look. Give the guy Pete.
No, he's side-eyeing as he's holding the hand.
But I'm okay with it because he's still going to go home to her. It's been proven. When the 20s are side-eye, they'll drop that girl in a second and jump to the one that he's side-eyed.
I think
the 50-year-old guy's not leaving.
It's one thing to side-eye, but there's another thing to blatantly stare. I think you can hold hands and maybe do a little glance, because women look, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Women look maybe a lot more than men, but people don't look for women looking, so.
In general, public affection.
Yeah.
You go, no, you're not.
Generally, I'm no on that.
Natalie. In general, public affection.
Slight PDA is fine.
What's that mean?
Like, if you want to, give, a kiss. But, I don't like people who make out places.
Okay. So, if you're walking with a guy and you stop at the corner and he turns, gives you a kiss, that's all right.
Like if a pack. No, I wouldn't.
People walking by.
Yeah, no, there's
lip,
no, like,
lip
making.
Kiss.
No,
lip,
like,
lip.
Making out.
Lip kiss.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine?
Yeah. But I don't need to see a full makeout session. Speaking of which, I was behind a car this past week, and we were at a red light, and the people were making out.
Yeah, young? Were they young?
I couldn't tell, but I was annoyed because it was all the way down Frankfurt Ave. I'm stuck behind this car. I'm like,
you have to be young.
Well, I'm like,
that.
What is this driver doing?
I did that when I was young.
You were making out while you were driving?
Yeah.
Well, people gotta go places.
No, it's like during a red light.
It was a continuous love session all the way down the Ave.
That's out of line. See, a guy knows he only's got a few seconds and he can win some points with the semi-makeout for the 30-second light.
They must have been having some sort of really great conversation that led to the kissing because it went on for 3 blocks.
That's no good. All right, Tom. Oh, no. We can't go back to the phones. We got our man talking about the Eagles on a note where we're talking about making out. And we have bigger fish to fry here with Tim McManus. Covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. He's on the Comcast hotline beyond fast. Timmy!
What's going on, Mike? How are you?
Well, I tell you, Tim, things are very unsettled right now for more reasons than one. So let's talk about the biggest one here. The big blowout of the Achilles, which we woke up to today, and what the ramifications are for this team as you see it.
I mean, it's a significant blow to this offensive line and this offense. Brandon Brooks is one of the best players at his position in the NFL and is one of the best players on the Eagles. And he makes up a right side tandem with Lane Johnson that is as good as there is in the league, and they really feed off of one another. And so, I mean, there's no sugarcoating the fact that this is a blow to the team. I would say if there's a silver lining, it's that the position, like if you were to have a position go down of a player of importance, guard, would be better than tackle, say. So it's not like they can't find somebody in there to stabilize it. But Brooks, Brooks, being down means that the offensive line is worse off for it.
Yeah, I see. Here are the options I see. You obviously see the same ones, and it came up right away. Jason Peters re-signed to play right guard. And the other option is you re-sign him, you play him tackle, you move Dillard to guard, or a guy that you have currently on your roster, or maybe you sign another guy or one of your draft picks. Which of these options do you think they will go to?
So I don't think that they have honed in on that quite yet. Doug Peterson said that they're exploring all possibilities. I followed up with somebody in-house shortly after that interview today and asked about Jason Peters specifically and got back that we are going to explore all possibilities, which did not discount Jason Peters' return to Philadelphia. But from what I've heard prior to this injury, that there haven't been any contract offers to Peters, that it wasn't really at that point. Maybe if it got to a place where, you know, the money was, you know, and the situation was such where it was just like a no-brainer, then you do it. But they were operating in mind with going forward with Andre Dillard. But I think Peters would be a really solid option because it almost solves two problems for you, Mike. You know, he did express last summer to me and a couple other reporters that he was open to eventually moving to guard. So that's in the back of my mind. Would he be willing to, in order to return to Philadelphia, to move to that guard position? And it also gives you an insurance policy if Dillard doesn't pan out. And there are people in the organization who aren't sure if Dillard is ready. So I think that, you know, Peters might end up making the most sense here.
All right, so you in your conversation, because I never got the impression that he'd be willing to do that, and he did say that to you guys. So do you think that was an earnest statement? Like, he's thinking about it now. One thing to say it back then, thinking about it now, to play right guard, completely other side of the line, different position. You think he'd be okay with that? And would it be a position where they would pay even less money since it's a guard position?
I think some of it would have to come down to his options and whether there is an opportunity for him to start a tackle somewhere else. I mean, obviously his confidence is sky high. When you question the possibility of him being in like the twilight of his career or decline in play, like he'll stare right at you and be like, you tell me who's better. I mean, he feels like he's still an upper echelon talent at left tackle. And so, how does that vibe with the idea of having to come back to Philly and be a right guard with somebody who you think that you're superior than, because he thinks he's superior to just about everybody in the league, and Andre Dillard. So I don't know whether he would ultimately compromise and decide that. I do know that he wants to come back to Philadelphia. That's in play as well. So he's going to have to weigh all those things versus the offers he has out on the table and make a decision.
All right. Doug Peterson was on a video conference today, and you guys were on it. I want to play you this one that he talks about a certain player being a great leader, and I want to get your reaction to this. Go ahead, Tyron.
Alshon's one of the guys. The dialogue that he's had in the receiver room, being able to converse with some of the young players that we have on our roster. But yeah, he is a big part of the process moving forward, and he's a great leader, and he's going to be able to help the young players come along.
So he's Mr. Magnanimous, we learn from that quote. It shook me a little bit. Is this a Doug Puffery statement, or like, you know, what do you make of that?
It stuck out to me as well. Here's kind of what I know about the Alshon situation. Do they think that it was likely a mistake that they guaranteed his salary last year? Yes. Do they want to compound that by then getting rid of a talent while at the same time taking a really big cap hit? They don't. And so I think at least for the time being, they're trying to make it work. And the way that they look at Jeffrey is not someone with malicious intent. In other words, you know, if he made missteps, it wasn't because he's a bad guy. It's maybe because he didn't think things through. And so I feel like they are, at least in the time being, going to make it work, given the fact that, you know, it's a $15 million cap hit. They don't know what the answers are yet at wide receiver. He's still getting healthy. And so really, what's the point of cutting ties with him right now? Now, if a trade came up when he's healthy, you know, would they move him? I mean, maybe, but I think that's what they're trying to do, is not compound a mistake mm-hmm. with another mistake and trying to, you know, embrace him with the hope of things working out.
I can see that part of it, but I look at it like an equation. The cap hit versus the quarterback comfortability. And my sense is that the quarterback would not, embrace this with open arms, nor would he embrace the Jalen Hurts selection with open arms. So, I would think that an organization would want to pave the smoothest road for their quarterback. Now, does this get in the way of that or not?
Well, I tend to agree with you. I don't. If Wentz was so opposed to the idea of Jeffrey being on the team, I don't think he'd be on the team. So I think that somewhere along the line, this is an opinion, is that he must have signed off on the idea of keeping Jeffrey around. And from what I'm told, like when those two interact, they don't interact in a way that's like super uncomfortable, or you would think they're like enemies or anything like that. Like they seem to have at least the basis of some kind of relationship. And so I know marrying all that together with what we've heard publicly is hard, but I think that, But I ultimately agree with you that, you know, trying to make it work, given all the other factors, might not be the best idea, because there have been these kind of hiccups. You don't want to have another one. You want to make sure that Wentz is in the best position possible. And I guess you at least leave open to the possibility of that not happening with Jeffrey still being on the team. So I think a fresh start is needed. I'm a little bit surprised that it hasn't happened, but I understand, given all the different factors, the way that they're thinking about it.
Yeah, see, when I hear Coach say he's had good dialogue with young players, that scares me worse than he's talking to young players, because he could be a polluter.
Right? Yeah, but I don't think that's who he is.
Okay.
I don't think that's who he is. I think that maybe he just, you know, wasn't thinking things through and some of his decision making, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But isn't like a cantankerous locker room issue. I think the things that he said created issues or allegedly said created issues, but I don't think that's generally his demeanor or personality.
All right. So what's the latest that you can read on the NFL going forward, playing and all that kind of stuff, fans, no fans? What's the latest?
I mean, we're getting close here, mm-hmm. and we know what the reality is right now. And so we don't have to project a ton here, Mike. And I just think it's going to be very fluid based on circumstance. But right now, I mean, we have, you know, you heard from the Cowboys where they had a couple guys who mm-hmm. were tested positive for coronavirus. The Texans, the same thing. And these aren't guys who have been together yet. So what would the number be if they were all in the same facility, if they were practicing, if they were hitting, if they were in the same locker room? So I think it's going to be an enormous challenge to get this season up and rolling. From what I've heard, that they are planning ahead to do that. The two dates that I've heard for the Eagles reporting, I had two players mentioned July 31st to me, another one July 28th. So I think that they are planning on showing up in late July. We talked to Peterson today, and he suggested multiple times the idea that they'll use two different facilities, that they'll have Lincoln Financial Field and the NovaCare Complex to help with the spacing issues. NovaCare Complex has multiple locker rooms in it. It's another field, so they're going to have to get creative that way. And so the way that I see it is that they're going to get up off and running, but I think that there has to be, you know, some obstacles that end up popping up along the way. It's hard for me to envision 70,000 fans, you know, in September. I mean, that's just hard to imagine. And so I think it's going to be maybe scaled back initially. And it's really hard to determine what the future is going to be. But I think that they're going to start off with an optimistic and planned out approach. But who knows how it breaks from there?
Yeah, I'm sure you don't know this, but like what are the ticket people like? Do they have to impose some kind of a plan as far as limiting the amount? If they do approve some fans, or like, are they into that? Is it going to be a lottery? Like, how would they work that?
Yeah, so one piece of information that came out today from Manish Mehta was that that season ticket holders have actually been charged, you know, for their season tickets. They have been delaying them, so I need to confirm that that's right. But there's a report out there that the season ticket holders have been at least charged for the 2020 season, which is interesting. And then there have been some plans that have been pulled out, like the Pittsburgh Steelers only allotting 50% of their individual tickets for the sake of social distancing. I don't know that they have it all mapped out, but those are the kind of questions that they're going to have to get figured out between now and the opener, Mike, is how they make it work. You know, some people think that the season will start off without fans in the seats, but I don't know that anything firm has been decided on that front yet.
Wow. All right, we'll keep abreast of that situation. Good stuff, Timmy, and keep doing what you're doing. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it.
Tim McManus, covering the Eagles, ESPN.com. There's so much planning that has to go on. You got a social distance, so now two facilities, and then even when you have the players at those facilities, you got to be conscious of that, the whole thing. It's so tenuous.
I think that's impossible.
Yeah.
I think what they're going to have to do is just start. I know that he said the 28th and the 31st. That means the testing should happen before that, like 2 weeks before that, like middle of July. They should start with the daily testing of the guys. That way, at least you have some sense of confidence when they get to your facility, because you can't play football 6 feet apart. You can't. Right. Like, it's impossible. So then you have to be as sure as you can possibly be that the guys don't have it before they enter. And then they're probably going to have to do temperature checks. I know they do a bunch of stuff anyway. They're probably going to have to add temperature checks and different stuff probably as you enter each day, and then send players home that don't have it. I think that's the only way it works, because I know what you're saying. They are going to space them for meetings and stuff, but you're going to have to scrimmage or wide receive. You can't play. You can't do football 6 feet apart.
No, you're right. And this ticket thing is very, really interesting, because supposedly league says, all right, we can only do 20% of the house, and they have to space accordingly. Now, who gets the ticket? Do they have to go through this lottery system, or do they go, okay, this group of season tickets gets this game, this group of season tickets gets this game, and do it that way?
Apparently, the rough outline is that it would be a lottery where if you got week one, like game one of eight, you would be ineligible for game two. Like, if you won the lottery and won, you couldn't come back to the next, but if you
That's
can
fair.
And then you would then be allowed to enter again for game three, but then all the people that were at game two would then not be allowed among the season ticket holders. That's the rough plan right now, because somebody, Anthony, had talked to somebody, and that was the rough plan, like league-wide, where you can keep it uniform, is you take your season ticket holders, sorry, game day fans, we can't do it, and lottery A, lottery B, lottery C, lottery D, and basically you're allowed to, you can go up to four games.
Yeah, all right.
And that would be... You can go to game week, like the first
better than nothing.
Yeah, four is better than zero.
And you get a refund.
Yes, and or you could apply. Apparently, you can get a refund, or you could apply it to the next year, your choice.
All right. 610-622-0975. We'll get to the phone calls after this. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. ...97.5, The Fanatic.
Updated Twitter poll at 4:30, and that is brought to us by the Twitter poll. Is Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,500 votes on it. Does Doug Peterson calling Alshon Jeffrey a team leader bother you? 48% say yes, 52% say no.
All right. A lot of people in Alshon's corner.
That means they're against the quarterback, and the Eagles have cultivated that. No, if you're a vote for Alshon is basically a vote against the quarterback.
Is this the polling society?
I was just going to say, they're rearing their ugly head.
There's part of that.
Polling society.
How's everyone doing?
There's that. And then there's also, though, the fact that the organization took a quarterback in the second round. And people get very upset when that comes up. Like, it's like we did it.
Yeah, let's hear Doug go on. He did speak about the guy he drafted in the second round in his video conference today with reporters. Let's see how Mr. Hurts is progressing.
His growth from a mental standpoint from the beginning of the offseason to now has been very good. And his ability to recall plays and recite plays. And now it's just a matter of once we get him on the grass, he's got to do it for real.
Well, there you go. Doing all the right things.
He's progressing fast. Hasn't seen him not one time.
No, yes.
But he's progressing fast.
On the virtual stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Doug, I feel like he's kind of just has to fill right now. He's just filling, right? It's just kind of filler content.
Yes, he is, because he can actually say, well, listen, man, we haven't seen him. You know?
Yeah, but
we can't wait to see him.
He's not going to be like a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, right now he's just a curiosity.
Right.
I guess
he's progressing.
He could be picking up the playbook. Like, you can do that. I'm sure he got the playbook months ago.
Yeah.
He could be picked. Maybe he means on the playbook, but you don't know what reads he's going to make with defense. Fletcher Cox going, you know, the twos versus the ones. Let's see when Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson and them are coming up the middle, if he makes the right read then.
Yes.
I know they don't hit in practice. You get what I'm saying? When the pressure comes, then we'll see how he's progressing. Because I know the other quarterback will make the right read.
There's a lot of interesting stuff he said today. Alshon's a leader. Jalen Hurts is progressing. Carson's helping out the young receivers.
But Rager's going to learn one position.
Rager's going to learn from Deshaun.
Behind Deshaun.
Yeah.
First round pick. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just saying, first round pick, like, we're going not gonna play every snap? Like, not that's not the plan?
I guess first not. Round pick? I guess not.
I'm supposed to feel good about that.
Okay. Let's go Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to my baseball point, I want to say no to McCarver. I want to say no to Alshon Jeffrey. I want to say yes to Jason Peters. Now, with regard to baseball.
You want to say no to McCarver in what way? Well, like, what do you say?
In other words, I don't want
You don't want to hear him?
I don't want to hear him.
Oh, wow. But you got to relive this World Series. Don't you? You got to put up with him.
But he's almost... He's hard to listen to. He's very hard to listen to.
He's just over analytic.
And I don't want that snitch Jeffrey back in the...
You don't want him. You're out. You're out on Alshon.
I'm out, and I'm in on Jason Peters coming back.
To play guard.
To play either guard, and if Dillard doesn't work out, slip him over there.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right.
Now, baseball, I think on this, Mike, you do... protest too much.
On baseball? I'm not even protesting at all.
Yeah.
I don't care if it comes back or not.
Yeah, I think this is where I disagree with you.
Okay.
As soon as it comes back, even if it comes back in some bastardized form of 48 games, you're going to start watching it.
Well, of course. I do this for a living, so I'm going to have to watch it. But I got to be honest with you.
I really don't care.
I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. I don't care if it comes back at all. I can move on from... I don't need the season to be complete. I really don't. I got the other stuff that's going to replace it.
I tell my wife the same thing. But I know as soon as they start playing, I'm going to start watching.
For 48 games? I mean, what kind of gauge can you get in 48 games?
I know. As I said, the season is ruined. However, that doesn't mean I'm not going to watch.
Well, yeah, everybody's going to watch. I'm not saying that people aren't going to watch. I'm saying that I can clearly do it.
I don't care if the Phillies win or lose.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. You should. You should care.
Okay.
All right. You got it, buddy. I'm saying I don't care if it comes back. I don't have to have it.
No.
I don't. I really don't. I don't have to have it. People are like, well, baseball's in your blood. But I don't have to have it. The way it's going, it's like, you know, 48, that's just, you know, we'll play a few games and then we'll get a playoffs. It's just not the same. So I don't need something that's not the same.
Well, and any momentum that had been built for a return, now it's just the life has been sucked out of it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And the life has been sucked out of the hearts of the players, I think. And you know, like the owners are playing their own little game. But I think if the players really wanted to play, they would play. I don't think they're interested that much.
But you did hear, Andrew Brandt did mention, though, that you're setting yourself up for the next CBA badly. Mm-hmm. Even if you really want to play, you come back at 70%, they're going to beat you up on that next deal and hurt your money. Not every player has a long-term contract. You're hurting a lot of players who don't.
No, I get it. I'm just telling that, like, from
like a real Muto. If he says yes to this, he's screwing himself on his own free agency contract. You know what I'm like? Even if he really, really wants to play, if he says yes to the 70%, which means he would really get 25% of his salary, he now gets beaten up on his own free agent contract in the fall.
All right. Do you believe they say name the time and place? Do you believe that? That's the player's genuine belief that if tomorrow Manfred comes out and says, all right, we're playing, blah, 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 go, let's go.
I believe they think they can increase the amount of games by taking this stance. I don't think they want to play 48 games, period.
Okay.
But I think by saying it now, that gives them, they could take another week, the owners, say yes, and you can still fit 70 games in. That I think they would actually want to do. They wanted to do 82. I think they'd accept 70. None of them want to play 48. I don't think not a single one of them want to play 48. And why would you? Because now you're at 25% of your salary. You got to go through all that stuff. It's a mess. The Marlins at one point, Hembo pointed out, at one point, even though the Marlins stunk last year, they had a 50-game stretch where they were 25 and 25. So now the Marlins are in the playoffs? This is dreck. They're not a good team. Like, that's bad. Like, 48 games is a joke. Like, I don't want 48 games.
Sometimes the public can get the wrong impression of players. Like, back when I played, we loved to come to the ballpark. We weren't thinking about the paycheck. We got the paycheck, but we weren't thinking about it. We were thinking about the love for the game. And I played with a guy named Kurt Flood, who put his whole career on the line to get free agency.
He did play with Kerfler.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
All right, let's go to Eric and Trent. And Eric, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Eric.
You messed up my whole train of thought with all this hand-holding and everything else.
Hand-holding.
Yeah, well, I think it is nice to hold hands on the first date, but I think it's also nice if you do it 30 years later. I mean, I still hold my wife's hand, and I held it on my first date.
That's what you're looking for, is love. There are some people who are hand-holders and some people who aren't.
Well, yeah.
Because you won't hold your wife's hand, doesn't mean.
But I wouldn't make out with my wife in public. You know, I give her a peck.
You give her a peck? You're a pecker?
Yeah, you give him a peck. You know,
you're like a pecker?
Kiss. You know, nice, gentle kiss. I mean, if you're like 14, 15 years old, you might make out with somebody.
Little peck on the cheek?
But let me get to the topic. Alshon Jeffries, you know, he's just a fink, and how can you have your quarterback throwing to somebody that he doesn't like, somebody that, you know, is going against him? And I'll leave that at that. You can talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
As baseball goes, I mean, yeah, the owners are taking a hit. Why wouldn't the ball players take a hit? Yeah, the owners are billionaires, but
where are the owners taking a hit?
Huh?
Where are the owners taking a hit exactly?
A lot of owners own parts of the stadium. They get concessions.
Yeah, when I ask you, where are they really taking the hit? Like, tell me where they're taking the hit. They're going to lose some revenue, right? Are they not going to be billionaires anymore?
Well, let's put it this way. How about the players take a hit like everybody else that went on unemployment? You know, they get 75% of their salary. You know, they don't get that first week, which would be like
it's 70% of their prorated salary. So they're not getting their prorated salary for playing the games. They're getting 70% of that. So why would they agree to take less of that? Because everybody else in the country does?
No, because it's not on the owner's fault that they can't play. I mean, you know, the owners, they take all that risk. If a player, you know, gets injured,
what risk are owners taking?
Huh?
What risk are owners taking? You do realize that this asset that they're worth right now, right? Let's just take the owners. Let's say you own a baseball team. It's worth $1.5 billion, right?
So you, Howard comes up lame for 4 years.
Forget Ryan Howard. Don't get off my point here.
All right.
So now you're an owner and you get no revenue out of this season and you take a tax loss. Okay, which benefits you tax-wise. And then guess what? Next year, how much you think your franchise is worth? From $1.5 billion. It's probably worth $1.6 next year. So where are they taking a loss?
Well, they're billionaires. That's why they're billionaires.
Well, that's what I'm asking. You think, where are you feeling sorry for these people?
Why?
1 year they don't make the money. That doesn't mean they're going to be a billionaire.
Why should the players get off scot-free?
The players are the game.
The players are the game.
The game runs through players. They don't come out to see the owners, do they?
Did America take a hit?
I can't believe that you'd be on the owner's side. I can't believe that you'd be on the side of a capitalistic pig like an owner of a major league team.
Yeah, but every other employee in the United States is taking a hit except for the people that are on the front lines, and they deserve more money.
So the players are taking a hit, too? They're not making any money now. They're making zero.
Yeah, but if they get 100% of their salary, when they should only get paid...
They're not getting 100% of their salary. They're prorating their salary. In other words, half the season's gone. However many games they play, their salary is prorated. And on top of that, they're telling them to take a cut.
I thought you were saying that they would get 100% of the salary. Yeah.
They're not getting 100% of their salary. Where are you coming up with 100%? If they're playing 48 games, they're getting 48 games worth of prorated salary.
Well, then I was misinformed.
Well, how are you going to think they're going to... You think Bryce Harper plays 48 games, he's going to make $33
million? Well, that's what it sounds like.
Come on, Eric. Come on, bro. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. ...97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so 447, Mike Missinelli Show. Sal Powell! Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. I haven't heard from Sal in a while. We'll get his views on what's going on. Actually, he's a big baseball guy, too, so I'm sure he's going to have some views on Major League Baseball snafu. One open line at 610-632-0975. I was going to bring this issue up as the topic of the discussion today, but we're probably not going to have enough time to really get into it. And it deals with the Mike Gundy situation at Oklahoma State. And the fact that he wore the OAN t-shirt and a lot of his players and one of his star players rebelled completely, saying it was inappropriate. So let's try to take this in steps. And this is more for tomorrow's conversation. The president has shown in the past to sway towards racist ways. Step two, OAN is his chosen conservative network. Three, the Oklahoma State coach wore the OAN t-shirt. So does that mean that if you support that, you shouldn't be able to coach a team or a sport that is bolstered mainly by African-American athletes? If you think about it in those steps, where do you go?
Just for a little more background, Gundy was asked about OWN in the past, and he says that they just give straight news, no commentary. That's what he was on the record of saying, and apparently what upset his players was a commentary segment on that network in which said that Black Lives Matters was a joke.
A joke, right.
And that's what offended the players. So Gundy watches it and says it's just news.
Yes.
His players watch it and think that there's an agenda, and that's where the split happened.
Yes, and the split is worth talking about because there are people out there that will be supporters of the president that say, well, just because you support the president, you can't coach a team that has black players on it. And so therein lies the discussion. And we'll try to get into it a little more tomorrow because I think it's a compelling discussion that we probably need to have. All right, Jerome in Elkins Park. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Hey, folks, how you doing?
What's up, Jerome?
I usually, like, kind of stray away. I'm going to have to call it, like, you know, frivolous pursuits, you know, those inner office kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some in which I turn and look and say, like, you know, when you had the Super Bowl and, you know, Foles went over and said, but, folks, Philly special? And mm-hmm. and I still, it just sticks in my mind, you know, Peterson just took a pause a moment and said, well, yeah, but that's maybe a chemistry or a rapport that comes across, you know what I mean? And when, say, Carson got hurt and you hear the press conference.
Or maybe it's one of these. Well, I got nothing else that sounds good as anything.
It could be, but, it could be, yeah. But, you know, we're talking like an important time in the game. You're like knocking on the door. You know, it's whether you score, get a field goal, whatever. So you just can't, you know what I mean?
So you look at that as a rapport.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do. Because I seen the man pause, think a minute, and said, yeah, okay, go ahead, do it.
Yeah. I think it's dumb luck, frankly. But the play worked, and it will forever go down as Philly. So you're taking this further and substantiating the point that maybe he feels more comfortable not having a quarterback like Carson Wentz.
Well, I don't know, but like you have an example. Look, it's a two-way street. You got now a coach who has won a Super Bowl with the backup quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Who plays a little different from the actual franchise quarterback. So the coach may not feel that he has to have that pressure of conviction. Look, Carson's words, one of his idols was Brett Favre. You know, the Maverick. But he hardly ever missed a game. But I still remember when he was taking and trying to throw passes all over the place, and Holmgren was his coach. Hey, come over here. Wait a minute. What are we doing out there? You understand what I'm saying?
I get it. Here's the only flaw in the argument. You would think the head coach would be smart enough to realize that even though he did it with another guy, that was a really small sample size.
Well, it was the small sample size of the biggest game possible.
Well, but you're missing the point. You have to negotiate an entire 16-game season, now 17-game season, with your guy.
Well,
can't be misguided to think this backup who played six good games and won a Super Bowl would have done that for
how
an
much
entire
those
season.
Seasons? Now, you said this last season, which I agree. Look, do I think Carson Wentz can be a winning quarterback? Yes. Do I think that he needs to kind of open his mind up on things? Absolutely. Okay. You know?
So So let me ask you this. You're not that comfortable with Carson Wentz.
I'm comfortable.
You're not all the way in.
Start. I'm comfortable. I'm not looking to take and replace him. But I think it's got to be somewhat of a two-way street. You know, you just can't. Look, I give him the cajones to say, hey, he's mentally tough where I don't think I need to take and kowtow him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he may need to have, you know, a bring in just a little moment, and let's talk about these things.
Okay, all right, I get it. I don't know. Doug Peterson's smart enough to realize. Well, yeah, I did that with Nick, but it was like a small sample. You don't think he thinks that clearly?
No, I think he thinks that his system. I think he's starting to believe in his system. Coaches are stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing it even with Belichick, who thinks now he can do it without Brady. And maybe he can. But I think he's at the point where he thinks he needs a different kind of guy to do what. Because now Hurts comes in and he's not going to push back at first. He's just going to do it. Sing the lyrics that I write.
Yeah.
While Carson and before him Brett Favre and many other quarterbacks want to scat a little bit. They want to freelance. I don't think he likes that. But I always go with the player because the player's on the field. Not that you ignore coaching, but if you see something as a player and you're out there, I want you to trust your instinct and go for it. You're playing the game. I don't think Doug likes that. I don't.
He was a backup quarterback under Favre. He was a backup quarterback under Marino.
Yeah.
Both those guys were allowed to do what they do.
Yep. Both of them. If Marino saw something at the line,
right?
Favre made mistakes, and Holmgren was a tough coach.
Yes,
but the quarterback's different. The quarterback is different in the NFL, but they don't treat Wentz like he's different. He's like a right guard. He's like a linebacker. They don't really. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they don't.
It's totally perplexing to me. It really is that they almost go out of their way not to You know, there's one thing about coddling the guys. Another thing, supporting them.
Right.
Like, your chosen quarterback guy has to be the guy you make everything perfect for. That's the way I've seen it. You don't have rocky roads with quarterbacks and expect them to have confidence. You've got to let them know that you're behind them 100%, whether it's not drafting a guy in the second round, whether it's not signing Alpha, bringing back Alshon Jeffrey. Like, those are little things that you have to give your quarterback,
and then
in my view.
And then if he fails, you say, okay, we did everything right. We could for him, but yeah. You're going into him almost with him having one arm behind his back, because rather than a second round pick that would help
exactly.
him, it's a backup.
Yeah, to me, that's not healthy. All right, 5 o'clock hour, Sal Pal's coming up. Your calls, what do you have to say about this situation with the Eagles and Wentz and Alshon and how much Alshon's a leader and all that good stuff? We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.